Let me pray, and then we're going to officially welcome you and our Tremont campus to the service this morning. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to kind of slow down the pace of life. It's what we're talking about this morning, and just focus on you. There's so many things that pull at our hearts and our minds, and it's easy to get caught up in all of it, and we forget sometimes or neglect this space where we need you. We need you to be God of our lives. We're not good at being God of our own lives. We need your direction. We need your voice. We need your help. And I pray that, you know, so many people come into these buildings and it represents so many different places their hearts are at. And you know what everybody's carrying. So we pray that whatever that is, you'd help us lay it down at your feet this morning. Just do your thing. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, Grace Free Church Tremont and Grace Free Church Orangeburg. It is so good to have you all here today. And we're starting a brand new series, and it's called Soul Reset. What healthy habits you can do when the inside of you is tired, when you're worn out. And these are things that you can practice. And, you know, I know it's summer, and some of you have had crazy summers. Some of you have had pretty chill summers. But usually the people who have chill summers have crazy falls, and the people who have crazy summers maybe have more chill falls. It just seems to be the way it works. Regardless, I felt like now was a good time for us to talk about some really important things we can do to take care of our souls. Because listen, if you are not intentionally taking care of your soul, life will bury you. Intentionally is the key word there. This doesn't happen by accident. Sure, sometimes you can roll into church and get a little inspired by a song or connect with something in the message, and maybe you feel that for a moment and you kind of take it home, and it maybe lasts until your football team's losing in the afternoon and then it's gone. But like for a little bit, it maybe has an impact on you and your life. But if you're not really being intentional about taking care of your soul outside of these places in Tremont and Orangeburg, life, it just doesn't move fast. It stacks. Now, I have a volunteer picked because can we all agree that it's weird when you go to church and somebody just asks for a volunteer and you sit there trying not to make eye contact with the person? Right? Like, is this, what are they going to have me do? Is there a snake somewhere in one of those boxes up there? Like, so I talked to somebody, my good friend Jim, our executive pastor, is going to come up and volunteer. Let's hear for Jim. It's a good idea. So he said, you're not going to ask me any questions, right? And so I said, no, I'm not going to ask you any questions. But the more he asked me if I was going to ask him any questions, the more I was tempted to ask you questions.
Still buy me lunch, though.
Yeah, I'm buying you lunch, a bottle of water and a bag of pretzels. Life just doesn't move fast, it stacks. And I have this little illustration that Jim's going to help me with here, with these boxes. I got to try to make sure my head doesn't get cut off on the screen at Tremont. So you guys just yell if it does. That doesn't work. Here, you hold that for a second. So life just doesn't move fast. It stacks, right? And like it throws different things at us. And we carry stuff around with us. And the more stuff we carry, the less free we are to just move in our purpose. And so some of these things, they can be pretty burdensome. Some of them are really good things to carry. So we'll start with like FAM. You're going to have to be okay with abbreviations because I don't trust my spelling. And the paper is really small. So, you know, we start with carrying good things. And like this one is 30 green eggs, 30 dozen green eggs. So I thought this one would be a good one to like do. Like we got bills that we carry around. You hold these for me. Just do whatever you can. And then that's not even the beginning of the whole thing, right? So we got all kinds of stuff. We got family, we got bills, we got, I don't know why work's a big one. We shouldn't do work as a small one. We should do work as a big one. Like we got work, right? We carry around. There you go. Just grab onto that. Got it. We got work. We got all the calendar. How many of you have anxiety attacks when you think about the calendar? Are you good?
I'm fine.
You're good. How do you spell calendar? Close enough, right? Like, and you're all thinking, why do we go to a church and listen to a pastor who asks a question like, how do you spell calendar? What's wrong with this guy? I have anxiety when I look at our family calendar because people are like running everywhere all the time. And this is a conversation in our house that is a big deal. I don't know if this is a big deal for you, but this is like a significant, because we forget about it until it's too late, right? Anybody relate to this one? Like dinner? Like you stress out because you're like halfway through the day and one of the people in your house that like is barely paying attention to life goes, hey, what are we eating for dinner? And you being the responsible one for all the lives of your family is like, you know, like going to, can you chew on it maybe? Like, yeah, there's more. Does anybody have a question for Executive Pastor Jim? Now would be like a really good time. We'll just call this that one thing you forgot. Okay, that didn't. I thought he was going to catch it. He used to play college basketball. Are you still good? Some of us, we volunteer. Go Vols. No, nobody. We're not in Tennessee. This is a little one, Jimmy.
I can't see it.
Can't see it, right? Like, and I don't know, what else can we, how about we put this one? Don't get offended. I hope I'm on screen. And you know that one person? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm there.
Your face is turning red. You know that one person who is constantly texting with that like little bit of passive aggressive pressure? Do you have a person? Don't look left or right. His eyes straight up front. That person, I don't even know what to, we'll just call it that. Oh, come on, man. You had one job. Everybody say you had one job. That person. And then all of a sudden, the things of life are stacked up because life just doesn't move fast. It stacks. Some of you are going about life thinking, I'm so exhausted because life moves fast. You're not exhausted just because life is moving so fast. You're also exhausted because life doesn't just move fast, it stacks. And you start carrying one thing. And then something urgent happens, and then you're carrying another thing, and then you're carrying another thing, and all these things are really important, and you're carrying them around, and all of a sudden, he keeps dropping the one thing I forgot. All of a sudden, you're not free to move in your purpose anymore, and what happens is life just kind of like goes, it pushes you just a little bit. And you're spending all your time just trying to hold things together. Everybody give Jim a round of applause. Just throw him down right there. If you don't, you just leave him there. Don't worry about it. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to be up here during the rest of the service. Thanks. If you don't start managing all the stuff you're carrying, like, it just builds and eventually it becomes unmanageable. And that's why having a soul reset built into your system, how you do life, some disciplines added to your life can help you let go of the things that you can let go of. It can help you maybe choose trust in a God who says, you don't have to have it all together because I got it all together. And one of the things that helps so much with us being able to trust and to lay down our burdens or our boxes is to seek a little bit of solitude in our life. Now, there's this passage in Mark that I want to read to you. And I originally was just starting with the end of it, but the more I studied it, the more I needed to add some pieces to it. And this chapter is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 29 through 39. And before I read this, I just want you to know that with each of these weeks, we're just literally going to be scratching the surface. I cannot dive in 1 week into everything that should be said or that can be said about each one of these topics. So my encouragement to you is to, one, leave each one of these messages with a plan to start practicing each one of these things a little bit every week, and two, also dive deeper into each one of them to find your fit for these types of things. The passage in Mark chapter 1 and verse 29, it says this. It says, as soon as they left the synagogue, how many of you feel like as soon as is a major part of your life? As soon as you got through that one problem, something else happened. As soon as you took care of that one kid, somebody else got sick. As soon as you finished that one work task, three new clients were bothering you about the pressure to complete their orders. You ever have that in your life, and as soon as, kind of like syndrome, happening over and over and over again? As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and obviously based on this story, Simon cared deeply about his mother-in-law, so she was doing a good job. She's in bed with the fever. They immediately told Jesus about her, so he went up to her, he took her hand, and he helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them like she was completely healed just from this interaction with Jesus. That's the main part of that story. We're not preaching that, but this life doesn't just move fast, it builds. And these stories here are building. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick. It says all the sick. Not a few sick. Not a couple sick people. It says all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Talk about pressure. Everybody is there. You know somebody's freaking out and saying, we didn't have time to vacuum. Who did you invite over? You ever get that? Come on, real talk in your home. Like, you ever have somebody, like, what do you mean your friend's just stopping by? Look at the kitchen. You know, somebody in the building is saying that. But it says that Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So this is early in Jesus' ministry, and he's just kind of keeping everything where he wants it to be right now. And then it says this, it changes. What you see there, and there's like five things that I think are so important for this passage for us to understand. And the first one isn't an applicable thing, it's just an understanding about life. The urgent always builds. And not all of it is real urgency. Sometimes the boxes that we are carrying just present themselves as urgent. They'd be okay tomorrow. You could deal with it next week. But you see here in this story, the urgency and the urgent needs, they build and they build fast. It starts with healing one, and then it goes to many, all of those people. There's no end in sight in this passage. There's no end to the demands that are being placed at the door of Jesus. There's always somebody else. There's always something else you could do or should do. There's always another thing, another pressure, another somebody who wants something from you, needs something from you. And it should be noted that all of this was good stuff in this passage. It's not all good in your life. Some of the stuff that you carry is no good and you should be put down. Some of the stuff people try to force on you is no good and you shouldn't carry it. But in this passage, all of this is good. People bringing legit needs into the presence of Jesus. But anyone else under this constant pressure would, if not break, certainly drop something. Do you ever feel like your life is like that? Like there's enough boxes, you're sick of the boxes. You don't know which way you're going anymore. You can't see past all the stuff that you've been carrying. The pressure feels so real, and no matter what you do, you feel like you can't keep up. Something is always getting missed because you just can't deal with it anymore. Do you ever? I feel like that. Maybe you do too. And here you have Jesus. It says in verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The second thing is urgency builds fast in your life. And the second thing is an example for us to learn from. And it's this: Jesus withdraws to reset. This is something we learn later, and I don't want to get into it now because part of the other passage is something we're going to talk about next week. But like, he does this often. He often leaves to seek solitary, even when it's going to disappoint some people. Even when some needs aren't going to get taken care of. Jesus prioritizes this in his life. It isn't just something he does when he has a moment. He is intentional about it. He is committed to it. It is a priority for him. He withdraws to reset early in the morning before the next wave comes. You know there's waves. They come every day. Every time you step into the office, there's waves coming. Waves just trying to take over your life and ruin your day. There's a wave of pressure. There's a wave of needs. There's a wave of stuff people desire from you. There's a wave of expectations people place on you. There's a wave of things that are added to your checklist or to-do list every day. There's always a wave. Early in the morning, he intentionally, before the next wave of pressure, the next wave of stuff, he intentionally seeks solitude. Now, here's what solitude is. This is a very simple definition. Seeking solitude is making a choice to get alone for a period of time. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. You can count it in minutes if you have to, for a period of time to reset, reflect, and connect. Now, there's a couple of things that happen when you start practicing this. Seeking solitude, getting alone, practicing what it says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. There's a couple things that happen. You get to know you. But more importantly, you get to know God on a much deeper level. Jesus, he intentionally seeks solitude. He makes a choice to get alone with his Father, to go away from the noise, to sneak off. He puts it, he schedules it, it's part of his thing. He goes and he resets and he reflects. And this is how strong people stay strong. How many of you know strong people that under the weight of boxes have hit major moments of weakness? I did. Like, I've burned out, like, I think twice at least, maybe three times in my period of doing full-time ministry. Like, it's messy, it's ugly, it always affects people around you, and it is not fun. I know some of the strongest people I know who don't practice this kind of stuff always run that line of breakout and exhaustion. Sometimes they don't know that it's affecting them because they're managing boxes well, but it is always affecting them. This is how strong people stay strong. Jesus often withdrew, so we should too. Now, the third thing here I think is so cool. He gets away and he's left the house and he's up in a solitary place praying. And it says in verse 36, Simon and his companions went out to look for him, because there's always going to be people that are going to look for you and try to pull you back into the hustle. And they go out to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." That's awesome. Somebody needs to write that down. Like, that should be your next line. Next time, they're like, "Everybody needs you." You should be like, "Okay, let's go camping." "Where are they? Let's go somewhere they are not." Like, that's... "Let's go somewhere else to nearby villages." But check this out. "So I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The first point in this little section is this: Jesus protects his peace, but we don't. Everyone, there's always an everyone. That's how they always say it. Usually it's not everyone. Usually when somebody goes, "Hey, everyone is mad at you. Everyone doesn't like this decision. Everyone needs you to do this." You know what? It's usually one or two people. But in the face of this pressure and this demand, Jesus, he doesn't run back to all the people that are beckoning him. That's what we do. We either run back or we spin out. We say, "I'm not going to run to that, but I'm going to worry about it. I'm either going to run back and, okay, what do you need me to do? How can I fix it? What do you need from me?" Or I'm going to sit here and go, "I'm not doing that," and then just worry about what everybody thinks about me. He doesn't run back and he doesn't spin out. He protects his peace by protecting boundaries. And if Jesus can protect boundaries, if it is spiritual, if he lives that example for us, then we can certainly protect our boundaries too. Boundaries are those things we put in place to protect our hearts. In Proverbs, it says, "Above all, guard your hearts." Boundaries aren't real boundaries unless they're clearly defined, clearly communicated, and clearly protected. And Jesus, he protects the boundaries. Says, "Okay, everyone says that. Good to know, I guess, but that's not what I'm doing. I had this space I needed to keep, this space, and now I have a mission that I am going to go accomplish." And that's point number four from this passage. When you seek solitude, it always brings you clarity in life. Clarity is not found in the chaos. It's not found in the box carrying exercises of life. Clarity about your life, your direction, what God wants from you, where he is taking you, what he is saying to you. Getting clear on that stuff, it doesn't happen just trying to manage your calendar or check the things off your list. Clarity in your life happens when you seek him in solitude, when you listen for his voice, when you turn down the volume on everybody else and all the other things, and just sit with him. If you're confused about what God wants to do in your life, if you're confused about your purpose, if you don't know what you're supposed to do in a certain situation, the answer's not found in reading some book. I love reading books. I even wrote one. It's not found in that. It's found in practicing solitude with your Father in heaven, who loves you, and from whom all good and perfect gifts in your life comes from. The worship team's gonna come out, and I just wanna end with the last point again. I can't preach this without saying that this is just scratching the surface, and my goal for you, for us, for me this week, because I'm not always good at this, but I've been getting better. of taking care of my soul by practicing getting quiet and getting alone and spending time with God. I've been getting better at that. And the results have been so amazing. The last part of this that I want to say, it comes from taking this passage and then kind of seeing it through the lens of 1 John 2:6. I don't know if you know what 1 John 2:6 is. It's kind of an important voice if you're one to follow Jesus, if you believe in him. A verse, not voice, verse. If you believe in him, it says, whoever is in him, whoever is living in him must also live as he lived. Like, if you have Jesus, if you placed your faith in him, then we're supposed to live like he lived. And that brings us to this fifth point here in this passage, which is this. Practicing this quietness with God and this solitude with him, putting down the boxes and leaving your schedule and all the demands your kids are putting on you and work is putting on you and life is putting on you, leaving that go for a few moments every day or every week, it's not just a suggestion, it's obedience. And Jesus gives you permission to disappoint some people, to take care of your soul. He gives you permission to prioritize your spiritual health over the demands of everybody else around you. If you would just start to practice it, the clarity and the purpose and the freedom that you would experience from the pace of life that is breaking you is so beautiful. And it is so good, and it is so freeing. You don't have to carry all the boxes. He'll carry them. It'll be okay. This is obedience and faithfulness. And the fruit of living an obedient and faithful life is so good. Take care of your soul. So here's the challenge this week. Hit the reset button. And if you have to start with a period of time during the week, okay. If you have to start with 10 minutes a day, okay. I don't think it matters how much you start with or where you start. I think it just matters that you start by being intentional about creating some space to turn off the noise, to put your phone somewhere you can't hear it and it won't buzz and you won't have phantom vibrations in your pocket. You know, like, don't put go somewhere where you can't hear the kids screaming and fighting with each other, where the boss doesn't know where you are, and turn everything off and just like stop and be still and listen for his voice. And if you say, I don't know how to listen to his voice, I got two suggestions for you. One, just ask this of him. God, what has been dragging me down and wearing me out? And two, God, what do you want to remind me of right now in this season? God, I pray that you would help us to just start practicing these things that you have given us that are so good. And we live these busy, crazy lives, and there's so many boxes we got to carry and try to juggle. And it'll be okay. We don't have to carry them all. We don't have to juggle. You are sovereign and you love us. And if you take care of the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, you'll take care of us. And I pray that you would help us to build in the intentionality of practicing solitude and alone and quiet with you. That we would, in those moments, ask to hear your voice and then hear it. We know that you are faithful. You are good. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.